Today on Rocking the Suburbs,
possibly the most indie of all indie labels.
Hello everybody, happy Tuesday. This is the Rocking the Suburbs podcast. My name is Patrick Foster and I'm here for another episode, another edition of What Was First, our bite-sized history lesson. Today we're going to talk about a label that falls into a category that's personally one of my favorites, UK indie pop. And there are a couple labels that come to mind when I think of this anyway. One is Postcard Records from Scotland. Another would be Cherry Red Records. And another would be Domino Records, I guess, would fall into that category too. Or maybe they're a little on the heavier rock side. But the one that maybe is the quintessential UK indie pop label is a label called Sarah Records. They were an independent label active between November 1987 and August 1995, and they were based in Bristol, England, and they released 100 7-inch singles during their existence, along with a few 7-inch records, about 20 albums, and a few compilations. A couple of bands you might know from the Sarah label are Heavenly, pretty well known. The Field Mice, Boy Racer is another one I like quite a bit. What's really interesting about Sarah Records, though, there are a couple interesting things about them, but this one stuck out the most to me. When the label got to their 100th single, they marked the occasion by throwing a party and shutting the label down. They ended it right there when they got to 100 singles. Very interesting way to approach things. Briefly, formed in 1987 by Claire Wadd and Matt Haynes, who both had experience working on fanzines. And I think both the fanzines they worked on gave away flexi discs with some of their issues. So they had some experience putting together music and putting it out, even though a flexi disc is obviously somewhat different than an actual vinyl record. In a 1990 interview, the pair stated that Sarah, quote, was a record company run from a buyer's point of view. You shouldn't rip off the people who support you. So they had a very strong ethic about that. They did not necessarily believe that when you put something out, you should put it out on every format. They didn't necessarily believe that sending copies out to radio stations, you know, was a particularly good idea. And being based in the city of Bristol is very interesting, too. And I'm going to read you something here from the source of all human knowledge, Wikipedia, about this fact. Being based in Bristol was very important to Sarah Records. Despite neither being from Bristol, both Wadd and Haynes loved the city and wanted to make the political point that to run a successful record label, you didn't have to move to London. Each 7-inch single featured a picture of the city on its center label, and the label's compilation albums were named after places in and around Bristol and numbered after the buses that went there. And the city's road layout provided the board for Sarahopoly, a board game about running an indie record label packaged as a 7-inch single that was the label's 50th release. Pretty interesting stuff. Yeah, all that's interesting, Patrick. All that's real interesting. But I want to know something. I want to know the next time somebody comes up to me in the street and asks me, what was the first release on Sarah Records? I'm going to be able to tell them. And here's what you tell them. The first release was the Sea Urchins' Pristine Christine 3-song 7-inch EP. That's right. The record was released in 1987, contained 3 songs, Pristine Christine, Sullen Eyes, and Everglades. So why don't we go over to the record player now and let's hear Pristine Christine, the first release on Sarah Records.
What you're on,
Well, you could definitely say that's UK indie pop. To me, that kind of defines what I mean when I say UK indie pop. The guitars are beautiful, intertwined in there, kind of chime at times. The vocals are sensitive and feel like the singer is singing about something that's deeply important to them, even though they're not necessarily screaming or shouting about it. And I want to turn now to a really interesting piece written in 2018 by the writer Michael White and published this on Bandcamp. I believe it's called a Guide to the Beloved Indie Label Sarah Records. Quote, thanks in part to future Saint Etienne co-founder Bob Stanley, who, in his role as a columnist for the British weekly New Musical Express, awarded Pristine Christine by the Sea Urchin Single of the Week. So Sarah's debut release sold out within weeks. The magnificence of this record surprised the few people already familiar with the Sea Urchins. The teenage band's reputation in their native Birmingham was as an undeservedly arrogant, disastrously inept live act. And in the same article, Claire Wadd, one of the founders of Sarah, says, quote, this still sounds urgent and important. Still sounds like a song to launch a record label with. It's incredible to think that a bunch of kids from Birmingham could produce something this polished, and then a couple of kids in Bristol got to release it. Wow. How about that? Very, very interesting. The Sea Urchins were a relatively short-lived band. They formed in 1986 and had broken up by the year 1991. They released 5 singles across several different labels, as well as some cassettes. They put out a flexi disc and a live CD, I think, came out posthumously. Their Sarah records, there's 3 or 4 of them, I think, are collected on a compilation entitled Stardust, which was issued as an LP and CD. Now, Stardust is available on the streamings, folks. So if you want to get a taste of what the Sea Urchins were about, you can do it in about 25 minutes. This is a 7-song compilation. And I think the longest track is something like 4 minutes 28. So you can get into it and totally get a good spin on what the Sea Urchins were, especially if you liked what you heard there. Why don't we take a minute now and listen to the second track on the record, Sullen Eyes. Go. That's definitely another classic slice of UK indie pop. Love the way the song starts and the guitar is already doing a little bit of a solo. It's kind of cool. It's not an overly complicated. It's just a different way to kind of approach the way a lead guitar will play. And it's not everybody starting off on the same thing. It's just kind of already there and already playing that sort of sensitive supporting line, which is really nice. On this record, the vocals and acoustic guitar were played by James Roberts. I believe he wrote the first 2 songs that we just heard. Rhythm guitar was Simon Woodcock. Lead guitar played by Robert Cooksey. So they had 3 guitar players. They also had an organ, Bridget Duffy, and she also played tambourine. The drummer was Patrick Roberts, and the bass guitarist was Darren Martin. So there you go. Now, this record, I got to tell you, folks, like many Sarah records, is a collector's item. They are a highly, highly collected label. And, you know, you can probably see why when they do something like put out 100 singles and shut down the label. And they had a very, you know, interesting kind of sound that they went for. As I said, it's classic UK indie pop. And there's a lot to love about it. And I can see if you're into it where you really want to be totally into it. Like, you'd want to get all the records and do that. And it's interesting, too, that not all that long ago, there was a full-length feature documentary about Sarah Records that came out called My Secret World. Kind of tells the tale, right, of the way people get into this label. And then a book came out not that long ago called Pop Kiss. And it's just a very cherished label to many, many indie pop fans. And I think that's really interesting that a label like this has maintained its appeal and draw after so many years. And a lot of the music now is being put up on Bandcamp, so you can go find it and get digital copies of it if you'd like. And I think that's a good way to go. And I'm glad that there's still enough interest out there for people to do that. Now, I will tell you, this record has changed hands three or four times this year. It looks like the most recent was a couple of months back. And from what I can see here, the average has been about $375 for one 7-inch record. So I don't know if you've ever spent that much on a piece of vinyl, but woo-wee, you got to really be into it. But man, if you're into this label, you got to have a copy of the first one, right? The first 7-inch. It's like one of the most prized and cherished records that you could find, really. The record originally came with a poster, a fold-out poster as well. And that's a point of contention among collectors. Does the record have the poster or not? There's one copy for sale right now from a United States seller for $365. No poster or insert inside this copy. So if you're getting it, you're not quite getting everything. I don't know about you, but if I was going to fork out $3.50, man, I want to make sure it's got the poster and everything in there as original as possible. All right, so there we have it. The Sea Urchins and Sarah Records. I hope you found that interesting. And as always on Suburbs Pod, we make no claim to any funds you may lose by purchasing records. If you're going to get into collecting Sarah Records records, do so at your own risk. But thanks very much for listening. We're going to play out with the song Everglades, as I said. And stay tuned tomorrow. We're going to have a patron episode. Jim and I are going to talk to a member of our community about a very, very interesting topic that I think you're going to find very appealing. So make sure you listen for that. My name is Patrick Foster, and I want to tell you that if you have anything to say about Sarah Records, are you already a collector? Is there something about the label that you want to tell us or have a personal connection with? We'd love to hear that. Send an email, rock@suburbspod.com. And you can also find us out there on all the socials at Suburbs Pod. And you can go to our website, suburbspod.com, and sign up for our weekly newsletter, which comes out every Friday, more or less. And you can also learn about the Suburbs Fest that's taking place this summer and fall across the U.S., Chicago and Washington, D.C. area. All right. That's it for today, folks. On behalf of my co-founder, co-host, and great friend Jim Linehan, I'm Patrick Foster, and I want to say we'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Enjoy the Sea Urchins. Went the way wrong way on that one. Maybe I should save that.